A reading from the Gospel of John. For the next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, on this good, good day you have made. We pray this together, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. What a great day. Last year on Palm Sunday, there were no children in our sanctuary. The halls here were all quiet. And if it had been the case again, then the stones themselves would have had to cry out, "Hosanna." But we thank God that that was not the case. There are children here, lots of them. And there are adults here too. And as the scriptures say, we were glad when they said unto us, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." And as our font of wisdom, Patty Woolley, prayed in a Zoom prayer meeting earlier on Monday, we thank you, God, that we are able to come back to worship, and we hope that we remember how. We've proven today that we do remember how. And even though it is not yet safe to shout or to sing, we have brought hosannas in our hearts into this holy house this morning. Thanks be to God. And thanks be to God for a wonderful psalm given to us this morning. Psalm 118, one of the Hallel songs sung by the Israelites as they came back into the temple courtyard, commemorating the return of the refugee and the re-entry of the exiles. And after our own past year of exile, we come and hear the words of the Hallel songs with keener ears. When Israel went out, the house of Jacob became God's sanctuary. O Israel, trust in the Lord. God is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. Now return. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death. I will offer thanksgiving and sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of the people in the courtyard of the house of the Lord. Open to me the gates, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. And this one appropriate, I think, for this past year when so many of us have lost friends and loved ones from the same dreaded disease. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the faithful ones. These are the Hallel songs. They call us to rejoice with those who rejoice and also to weep with those who weep. They commemorate the journey. They remember the struggle. And they thank God for the deliverance. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, they conclude, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. We have come through so much. We have lost so many. Yet here we are, 200 of us back home with others to follow, and God's forever and unfailing love for us all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is another verse too in this psalm today on which Jesus himself quoted in the palm processional all those many years ago, and one which I wish to speak on this morning. It's the 22nd verse. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. When the temple of Solomon was being built, the Jews used huge 20 to 30 ton stones quarried at another site and then brought on rollers to the Temple Mount. And there is an old Jewish story about one of the stones being oddly cut and therefore discarded by those on the construction site. It was set aside, and as the years progressed, finally forgotten. Then, when the temple was reaching its completion, another generation of builders found the stone and used it as the final dedicatory stone at the service of the temple's dedication. So the stone that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. Then there is another story of the stone being discarded altogether and left rejected. But then, after the first temple's destruction and the people's exile and return, the rejected stone became the cornerstone upon which the whole rest of the second temple was built. The exact history is lost, but I think we understand the symbolism. We understand the metaphor. And we understand why it was that Jesus quoted this psalm when he came into the temple. This is not just a story about a stone in a building. It is a story about a people in a nation. The rejected, the despised, the contemptible, the excluded, the morally and physically maimed, the traumatized and shunned, the denied and the forsaken, Jesus's people, the people Jesus came into Jerusalem alongside, the people waving their palms at Passover, have become the new building blocks for a new community, a new temple, a new vision, and a new hope, not only for the nation of Israel, but for all of humanity also to become. A new temple is being built. And after the exile, the stone that the builders rejected becomes the chief cornerstone. I have pastored two formerly Southern Baptist churches in my tenure, both sent into a kind of exile. The first, my childhood church at 2nd B in Lubbock, was kicked out of their local association in the 1960s for accepting something called alien immersion. It was less exciting than it sounds. It meant that they were accepting those who had been baptized in non-Southern Baptist churches. That was the official reason for the expulsion, anyways. Another less ostensible reason was that they were also accepting black folks, people of unlike faith and practice, and also unlike color. They were kicked out of the association, and they eventually left the convention altogether over its stance on the ordination of women. But after the exile, those women and those aliens became the building blocks for a new kind of church, a different kind of Baptist, a Baptist church with a smaller building, but a bigger heart and a bigger soul and a more beloved community. Then there's this church. We've lived in our own exile in a kind of way. In fact, there is a book titled The Exiled Generations, which mentions Broadway in what it calls the legacy of the Southern Baptist Convention Holy War. We were kicked out. We were exiled. But we survived. And now I believe we have come into our own place and our own time. And the stones that previous generations rejected, gays, women, people who don't believe the Bible ought to be used as an instrument of oppression, have become for us a part of the cornerstone of this church. They have become the building block. They are what something new and even more beautiful than even this sanctuary has been founded on. And as the scriptures say, It is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. If you go out on the northeast side of this sanctuary, there is an engraved cornerstone laid. It was erected in 1950, and it says this: "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." This church is 139 years old this year. That's why when new businesses come into the near south side, I always say to them, "Welcome, we've been waiting for you." 139 years. That means we've survived two world wars, white flight to the suburbs, a Great Depression, and a Great Recession, and not now one, but two global pandemics. We're old school. And we must be honest and say that there were some the original builders of this church rejected. Gays and blacks and browns and Asians, even Methodists. But in our heart of hearts, we know that these are Jesus' people. And that we all belong together, brothers and sisters and kindred, in the house of the Lord. And as the book of Ephesians says, so then we are no longer foreigners and strangers to each other, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as our chief cornerstone. In him the whole building rises and is joined together to become a holy temple unto the Lord. And in him you too, that's us, are being built together into a dwelling in which God lives in God's Spirit. We belong here in the household. We belong in this building. And it is so good and pleasing that we are here together today in both body and also in spirit. This morning's sermon title is "A Stone of Hope." It comes from a line in Dr. King's "I Have a Dream" speech where he says, "Out of a mountain of despair, a stone of hope." I look at these children today before us, and I say that the dream is still alive. They killed Dr. King just this week, 53 years ago. And they killed Jesus. But they could not kill the dream. They could not kill the spirit is still alive in this place. And in the spirit, we have been bound up together, and our children are being made one with one another together. one in spirit and one in body, and at one in this building. And as the psalmist says, open then the gates of righteousness that I may enter through. This is the gate of the Lord, and the righteous shall enter through it all together. Carl Jung said the stone's significance is that something permanent that can never be lost or dissolved, something eternal that some have compared to the mystical experience of God within one's own soul. That is what Christ came to help people see inside of themselves. Rejected and despised and discarded by others, Christ saw the image of God in them. And Christ brought them into the house of God with him. And Christ has brought us into this house of God together also. The exile is over. The gates of the Lord's house are open. The temple is ours to enter. It's ours to share together. By the grace of God in Christ, we have been saved. We have been delivered, and we have been called to come and to build this temple anew. So, as the words from the song we sang on the day I came here in view of a call say, let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Hear the love of Christ shall end divisions, for all are welcome. All are welcome. You are welcome in this place. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, amen.